Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is a podcast, an award-winning podcast in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rams Mavote. New look, right? Different studio, but you know the studio, guys. This is where I used to do the audio studio recordings from. Today, I'm doing not only this look, but also doing something for the first time. I'm linking with my guest online. Hey, I'm excited about this new look thingy. Anyway, you know, and my guest, you know him. Like, this is like his third or fourth time on this show. I mean, this guy hogs this space. The only politician who has no problem with satire. The entire 400 people in the National Assembly and thousands others in the provincial legislatures cannot ever understand satire. So they all run away from me. What do? I keep on going back to the chairman of SCOPA, Songhe Zozibi. Keita,
how are you, Commissar?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I hear you've got a new look. You still look great to me, so I don't know.
Well, new look studio, not me. New look studio.
I'm sorry. I'm consistent. The studio.
I'm consistent. Okay. I almost even wore the jersey that people
get. Clarify. This is how people end up at commissions.
Of happiness that I wear that, you know, but I thought I shouldn't wear it. I should be rubbing you on the wrong side, you know. You know, Keita, we spoke earlier about a tweet we both read. Somebody saying that South Africa is beset with only two problems, corruption and maladministration. Or is that incompetence?
Incompetence. Right? Yeah.
And they're referencing the latest saga of Safa and an ineligible player who now has shot us to the second spot of the World Cup qualifiers when we're cruising at the top. Are they right? Is that our problem in this country?
Yeah, no, Commissar, totally. I mean, listen, I remember each time we played in the World Cup as South Africa, right?
Yeah.
You will remember too, right? So the first time, we remember, you know, get clobbered in Nigeria, 4-0. Yeah. And Ike Pashla worked for SAPC and he asked Screamer, "Coach, four calls without reply. What happened?" And Screamer says, "What do you mean what happened? We lost. Now, you know, then we like won the AFCON and like we went to France and we went to Korea and things were looking up. Amen. And then incompetence set in to the point where we now second behind. And we first with, what, are we second behind
we're
Benin?
We second because of goal difference.
Because of goal difference behind Benin, right?
Benin, right? I mean, the last time I heard of that word, it was a drink. It was an alcoholic drink.
So you see now, SAFA issued a defiant statement. Like, they should have kept score of who's got a yellow card,
yes,
how many yellow cards, and whether they're suspended or not. Paperwork, Commissar, it's not complicated. Somebody should have a spreadsheet with some warning system. Nada, they don't do it. 3 points gone. 3-0 score awarded against us. I mean,
in fact, this is how incompetent this is. Algeria fired their own manager for not knowing the yellow cards of the opponents, let alone theirs.
No. But listen, the tweet is right. It's corruption in sport and outside of sport. And it's also corruption outside, you know, like and incompetence in the state and outside of the state. Those things are dangerous, Commissar, because incompetent people hurt people, even if they don't intend to.
Yes, because they don't know any
now
better.
They could break our hearts, even if they don't intend to. Terrible.
But then we, you know, this thing of incompetence kills me. I mean, a few months ago, maybe about a month and a half ago, you know, the Premier of Gauteng comes out and he's telling us about how many unqualified people are in positions in his government, and you then think, but what are we doing about it? I mean, I remember I even did a podcast about him saying, "Yeah, you know, we're taking action. We are exposing them." I mean, this Safa guy, by the way, is the same guy who, when we were preparing for the 2010 World Cup that we were hosting, that we had won 8 years before. We didn't have training grounds. They were taken by foreign countries who were already preparing for their games. Bafana did not have training grounds.
Yeah. No. Let's see. I think somebody must have thought that George Gough Stadium was still available. At the time. And it was not available. So.
But that stadium is next to the George Gough MKP branch. We may have to seek permission from them to use the stadium. Anyway, Keita. Anyway, enough. Look, I'd like to say enough about Safa, but it's sad because here comes a Hugo Bruce who comes and gives us some respectability and honor. We're starting to be the greatest looking side in a long time, right? And then it takes an unknown team manager to reverse all of this.
No. Listen, all I'll leave the people who follow this podcast is, you know, as we say in my village, Safa Musafa.
Safa Musafa.
Safa, Safa.
But here's the issue of corruption, right? The player, people say it's not his fault. I'm saying, but he knows he's on enough yellow cards. He shouldn't be playing. That's how even we are flippant about things that are, well, you know, if they haven't seen me, I'm going to play.
No, you know, in his defense, Commissar, do you know how many games there were that he played in between the first and second yellow card? 24 national teams, right? 24. Then he got his second yellow card. Then he played another 12 or something. And in between, he played for Sundowns, like a staggering number of games. And he got yellow cards.
Other yellow cards at club level.
He got other yellow cards. Yeah. So, you know, like at some point, Commissar, like, I don't know, like, was it in the club match or was it in the... And by the way, there were friendlies in between where he got yellow cards too. Like,
yeah, no. So, as they say, Gatro.
Yeah.
No, I take it. So let's move on to two amazing things that are happening in front of us as we speak, right?
Mm.
The Matlanga Commission and the SIU report that came out.
Yeah.
Earlier in the week. Now, but I want to start with SIU.
Mm.
And then we'll go to the Matlanga Commission. You know, we've always known about the Tembisa Hospital matter. But that report now gave us much more than what we thought we knew about this thing.
Yeah.
Here's the question, though. I found the figures scary. 2 billion. I mean, I don't think that structure itself, including everything it has and its employees, is worth a billion. Now, where does this 2 billion come in here?
No, you know, it's money spent over time. Right. So it's not in 1 year. It's multiple year contracts for various things. And I must still dig into the detail of the report. I skimmed through it. Right. But Commissar, you know, people also need to know this is the kind of thing that happens regularly. Right. There are all of these syndicates where, you know, some of what they were doing is they would all be final bidders and one of them would win. You remember the construction cartel?
Yeah.
Where they would all bid and then one would win and the others would walk away, you know, allegedly sad, but not so sad because they're going to win the next one. And then they would pay each other in the background. So they were gaming the system together with public servants were helping them. So they were a criminal cartel, effectively. And you can do that when you've captured everyone from provincial government all the way, even national government. Look, the procurement happens at provincial government. Provincial government all the way down to the hospital or clinic, right?
Yeah.
So that's what they were doing. And the lesson is this. The nature of corruption in South Africa revolves around capturing the state, most of it. That's what it comes down to.
Say more.
There are hundreds of Guptas, little Guptas, all over.
When we get to the Matlanga Commission, there are a few Guptas that are spoken about there. But But you know, I mean, throughout, since that report came out, all that I've been hearing, or a lot of what I've been hearing, is actually now even junior clerks have become part of this game. They have mastered passing, you know, these tenders that if you just go down by R1,000 and don't pass the 500,000 threshold, then you can pass on a lot of these things without needing authorization.
Yes, Yeah. So a former colleague of ours in journalism, Khomisa Mpumelelo Mkabela, went down to the Eastern Cape to be editor of the Daily Dispatch.
Yes.
And I told him that there'll be so many corruption stories that he will not know which one to put on the front page. And he laughs. Ha, ha, ha. You know, you're exaggerating.
It's
ha,
him laugh. Yeah.
Like 4 months or so later, he calls me. He says, yo, these people are corrupt, man. You know, we did a story yesterday. And this one company issued like 16 invoices for 299,999 cents, because the threshold at the time was 300,000.
Yeah. So you stop at 1 cent below.
Yeah, 1 cent. 1 cent below. So that it can go without procurement. And they're like, this one group of people with like 20 companies, all with one tender, as it were. You see? There, a low-level official says, no, I can. It doesn't have to go to REMS. I'll sign it if it's under X amount. And then you also get the case in East London or Buffalo City. But let me say East London because we're in actual East London. There is this one fellow. He was wearing over 2 days about 250,000 worth of clothes and shoes. Excluding watches. And so he comes to the SCOPA hearing. Think about this, Khomisa. Okay? You are with SCOPA.
Yes.
The clothes you are wearing are way more than your salary. And nothing tells you, Khomisa, that, hey, course, maybe I should go to Woolies and get a... You know, just for 2 days. Just two shirts, Khomisa. Just for 2 days. You see? The fellow comes. He sits in the committee, and then we started talking about his clothes. Do you know what the fellow did?
Yeah.
He quietly left.
Oh, no. But you see,
everybody's doing it.
You see, and that's my worry. So we're hearing about Tembisa Hospital. But then that, for me, means it's a microcosm of what's happening at Halishiwe Hospital. It's happening here, Gugulovo Hospital. A whole lot of other places, this kind of stuff is happening. How is this undetectable? I mean, why are we at the point where SIU is involved when I think a line manager should be saying, but why are there so many things that are going out without tender? Shouldn't somebody be picking it up in the line of duty?
Listen, you know, Commissar, people raise these issues, they just get killed. In the case of Tembisa, there was Babita Deokaran. She picked this up. She warned about it. She raised concerns about her safety. Nothing was done, and she was murdered. So people know these things happen. That's my experience in my job. People know these things happen, but they're too afraid to speak because they will not be protected. Instead, they will be victimized, right? I'm seeing that in my work where we're trying to persuade people to help us with various things. You know, the length that we have to go to, Commissar, to get them to provide us with information. I'll give you an example. So I saw recently a bucket hat, Commissar, for 11,200 rand.
Was it from Augusta National, where the masters...
No, Commissar.
$1 exchange could affect stuff like that,
Executive bucket hat.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's laden with gold and diamonds, Commissar. We gonna find out in the.
Maybe it's got a tracking device on it.
But it's, and we might take it to a jeweler to value the diamonds that are encrusted on it. But now somebody has signed off on this thing. There's even a memo where this person is explaining why they've signed this thing off. It's not just a bucket hat, by the way. There are water bottles for 85 rand each. Per bottle.
Per bottle, without the water.
No.
The special
doesn't
water.
Matter. It's a plastic bottle with water in 85 rand. Right?
Yeah.
A sports bag. I looked, I thought, okay, maybe golf bag with golf clubs. No. Sports bag. 37,500.
Wow.
You see? So this is how South Africans are losing money. And they have to pay more taxes, they can't access services and so on. And you know the effect of that, Commissar, is this. You end up with South Africans going around to hospitals and asking people for IDs and chucking them out. And if you happen to be from Giani and you're not carrying your ID on the day, your fellow South African will tell you that you don't qualify.
Yeah.
And you might die on the way.
You become Zimbabwean instantly.
You become Zimbabwean instantly, right? And therefore, you don't qualify, you're Mozambican. And so what am I trying to say? It's that corruption is causing South Africans to eat one another. That is why it's a very serious matter, and we really cannot let it go. And we have to go all the way, not past Cap Matlala, on to his political protectors, right? Onto his political protectors, so that we ultimately hold people politically responsible.
And before we go to Cap Matlala, see, for me, not only are these people brazen, they also don't mind being comical. Like, I mean, I still cannot get it over the skinny jeans item at Tembisa Hospital. Because I'm really wondering, is it a code name for something, or they bought skinny jeans?
This is why, Commissar, I always want to see the item, see, because maybe it really is skinny jeans, Commissar, but you and I don't understand the quality of the fabric for our public health system that you have to wear. I mean, I don't know, but usually it's cold, by the way.
Could it also be some confusion, Commissar, because maybe the item that was supposed to be ordered were perhaps drips, right? And somebody saw drip, and maybe they meant, drip the label, and they bought the skinny jeans of drip.
Look, Commissar, that's a mistake that could happen, given the challenges in our education system, but I doubt it. I doubt it's likely to happen in this case. Makes me so angry. We're laughing, but
it depresses me. I don't even get angry.
It's depressing.
I was depressed listening to Advocate from SIU. I mean, I was so depressed. I kept on thinking, but why are we going through this? I mean, and yet, as we hear these things, people say, maybe this gives us hope that we are finally dealing with this elephant that is destroying the country. But before we even get to even that, Advocate Motivi depressed me twice, right? With the content he gave, but also he did that wonderful thing that kills people, PowerPoint. They say power corrupts.
PowerPoint
corrupts, absolutely. I mean, it was a PowerPoint corruption there that almost killed me. But the stuff he was going through was like, are we really here? Are we like seriously here?
Now, listen, Advocate Motibi is not always depressing, by the way. The parts of his presentations that I like is the part where they confiscate Lamborghinis and things from people. That always cheers me up. that always cheers me up. Or when he had a malapropism the other time, he said, we will leave no tan unstoned.
Unstoned, yes.
But the man really does his work. Commissar, here's the thing. And you and I are old enough to have been following politics very closely in 2007, when the ANC resolved to disband the Scorpions.
Yeah.
They then came up with something called the General Law Amendment Bill in Parliament. The fastest the ANC has ever processed legislation was a legislation to kill the Scorpions.
Yeah.
I think by May of the following year, the Scorpions were gone. Like, there had been a law to kill the Scorpions, right? We must not forget, South Africans must not have amnesia, right? Which is, there are people who are responsible for these kind of things, because Advocate Motibi shouldn't have anything to do. He shouldn't have much to do, because because part of a deterrent anyway is like fighting corruption is like having an army, a strong army.
Yeah.
Your neighbors never get to attack you because they know you're going to murder them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. The Scorpions, part of what the Scorpions did, we would see someone being dragged there and then being convicted.
Yeah.
Right? And people knew that, Chief, I'd love to help you, but you, right? When that factor was removed, we ended up with somebody whose name is a color. called Brown.
Brown, yeah. And,
yeah. Being a person who seems to have outsized influence, you know,
yeah,
over somebody who's elected and has taken an oath. And Commissar, so we must have an appreciation of how we ended up here so that we don't make the same mistakes again in future.
In fact, speaking of the Scorpions, our mutual friend Sipongwe gets to be quoted at a backyard mechanic space. So I'm accompanying my friend who's going to pick up his car, and these guys are having conversation. And they're like, you know, if you commit crime in this country, be careful that that guy Sipongwem is not the one looking for you, because now you're gone.
No, but that's what you want.
Yeah.
Do people say the same about the Hawks?
No. In fact, now we have a former Hawks boss being mentioned alongside shady people. Like, hey, like, why are you receiving calls from people like this? What's happening? In fact,
yeah.
I tweeted this the other day. Why does everybody have a telephone number of top cops, and how does it work? I mean, do you have the number of General Libya? Or, you know, or
not because of my job, by the way, I
you
do.
Probably would, yeah.
Right, and because of my job, I have General Masimula's number, right?
Yes.
But I don't actually just call them. It's always about, you know, a very serious matter, which has to do with fighting crime, right? So I'm sure that if General Masimula sees my number coming up, he doesn't worry that,
yes,
oh God, what is this guy going to say now, right? Yeah. Right.
Well, he wants me to talk to some cops who have arrested him so that they can release him.
But no, I wouldn't want him to know.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't want him to know, because now how can I interact with him? As a person who holds as a SCOPA chair, when, you know, I've kind of had to have dealings with the cops where I've done wrongdoing. So the all of us mutually respecting this space is very important. Now, what happens is you get crooks who seek out cops' numbers so that they can influence them. You know, General Masimula, I think I can share this. So I met with him to discuss work some months ago. So he tells me that in my province, home province in the Eastern Cape there, they've had to withdraw some one or two station commissioners because thugs were intimidating them, tailing them, following them. Commissar, why do criminals not fear that if I mess with a cop, they're going to break my face?
Exactly. Right?
They're going to break my face. They will come for everything. They're not afraid.
In my hometown, in Dobsonville, Soweto, the police station closes at 8 p.m. because the cops are scared. They literally lock. We got a padlock on the gate of towards the door of the police station, right? But let's quickly move to, now that we've introduced General Masemola and his folks, Justice Madlanga and his fellow commissioners. So we've had what now? Four witnesses on the fourth one, right? We had the main
yes.
guy who came, everybody celebrating him, followed by...
None of them is a name that is a color yet, but anyway.
None so far, right? But these are
yeah.
these are the SAPS people so far making all these allegations. The country's a bit excited. We're hearing all these things, and all of us are sitting there thinking, gotcha, gotcha. Well, is it that?
Now, you know what, Commissar? The good thing is that the people that always had an answer when we complain about corruption are now on the back foot. And that's a good thing, because General Mkhwanazi brings receipts. General yeah. Masemola brings receipts, right?
Yeah.
The head of the NPA in KZN brings receipts, right?
Yeah.
It gives us the information. If people, you know, people complain about these commissions and they say, remember when SCR announces commission, people said, suka. You see, Commissar, none of us now can claim we did not know.
Yes.
None of us can have an excuse for not taking active citizenship steps, right? To demand that people get fired, to demand that people appear before parliament, to say to certain political parties, we will not, if I don't know your position on this thing, we're not going to vote for you. I'm not voting for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's value already, Commissar. There's value already, in my view. It's a good thing. More to come, and more people must go there and speak.
But that optimism seems to have been swallowed by the non-happenings following the Zondo Commission. People are sitting there thinking a billion rand later and four volumes of evidence. And here we are, same guys are still cabinet ministers, they're in parliament.
Of course.
They're very...
And we have to call them honorable so-and-so. Those
exactly.
Are,
like, yeah, you guys,
you know,
yeah.
Calling each other, that in.
I mean, I can't believe you guys call each other honorable. It just kills me. But
you,
yeah.
you have no choice. You have to say honorable so-and-so. And honorable so-and-so was in court yesterday for fraud. Okay. Commissar, what I want to say to the listeners and followers of Rams by the Horns is that ultimately, what really matters is the ballot. What really matters is a ballot. I've heard something in the United States where people say the midterm elections are coming and the American people are going to get even. Right? We mm-hmm. need to internalize that thing because ultimately, Commissar, it is a president who appoints the NDPP.
Yeah.
It's a president who appoints the police minister. It's a president who appoints a police commissioner. It's a president who appoints the head of the SIU and so on, right? It comes down to the politics. Even the work that we do in SCOPA, the reason we do it publicly and we share information and if you bully me to come here, I come, is because ultimately the South African people must have enough information to use the one weapon they have, which is, we're going to take you out of power, or we're going to put somebody in power who's going to hold you accountable, and if you must go to prison, you're going to go to prison. But constantly in parliament, I also hear parliamentarians where the AG has come to tell us what's going wrong, right? Parliament is the boss of the Auditor General.
Yeah.
Members ask the AG, what are you doing about it?
Well, is it not despondency that nothing is happening? Maybe you could help us as the AG because we have completely failed as public representatives to do anything about these things because it is not kosher in our party to do something about it.
No, I think it's members not recognizing the power they have.
Yeah.
It's members not recognizing the power they have, right? To say, we're going to make life so difficult for that minister that he or she will have no choice, right? Like the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education around the CETAs and the previous minister.
Yeah, yeah.
Parliament there was exercising its power.
But it is because it's a different parliament. The 7th parliament is different from what we've had over the years, right? The balance of power has shifted.
No, of course. Yeah, yeah.
She would have survived in the 6th administration. We know that she would have survived.
Yeah. What was she chewing, Commissar? Was it peanuts or gum?
Mbazima Shilowa is convinced it was bubble gum. Not chewing gum, but bubble gum. He calls it
bubble gum.
Yeah, bubble gum.
I just hope, Commissar, she wasn't chewing that thing. That guy, there was a criminal accused in KZN. He also like chewed something,
yeah.
Hoping to win the case. So I'm hoping that she... maybe her person said... You know, the peasants we go to
as
black
people. And chew this thing, you'll be okay. You know?
Chew this thing, you'll hypnotize them. But you're right, Commissar. We wouldn't have had a similar situation. Look, I'm lucky in my committee in that from right across the parties, I actually generally have members who just want to do the work.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I don't know if it would have happened before, but the person who co-signed the MOU with the SIU for the committee is a person from the ANC. I didn't have to persuade him. He didn't need to consult the chief whip. He was like, no, sir, sure thing. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing.
As we go towards the end of this conversation, I know that the president announced another hearing on somebody. I think it was the Chauke fellow who was... Is that the route now? Is that how we're going to do things in this country? You know, I miss a week on the podcast, the president calls a committee to investigate that.
This is very important. The president should have done this 2 years ago.
Exactly.
2 years ago, right? 2 years ago. And for some reason that is yet to explain, he didn't do it.
Which you won't explain. We know that, right?
Can I tell you, Commissar, that the national director is not allowed to instruct provincial directors on who to prosecute?
Yes.
Right. And by the way, the then Democratic Party insisted on that rule in the legislation. That's a story for another day when you and I decide to have a history conversation. But it's incredibly... So the NDPP cannot fire a provincial director of public prosecutions for non-performance or whatever reason. Cut, right? The president has to have a board of inquiry, and that person must then be deemed unfit, and then it comes to ask the politicians to vote on it, and then that person is removed.
So therefore, Commissar, isn't our incompetence, going back to where we started,
yeah,
basically that we've given power to one office, because I don't want to individualize it, you know, the
prisoners
would have had the same power. Is that not the problem?
So in other words, NMP, if the system was working, should have been able to say, Mr. President, you're not willing to do it. I'm moving a motion in Parliament to have this board of inquiry. If enough members vote for it, it's going to happen, right? That thing is not there. That is why I'm a firm believer, Commissar, in taking our constitution. After 30 years, I think we're entitled to review the constitution, to remove the areas that cover up for incompetence and all sorts of kind of things, and shine a light on those areas and make changes. The police commissioner, Commissar, should also come to Parliament for interviews, like a Chapter 9 institution.
Yes.
Remember, we had Pashane fired. We had Begitred fired. We had, who else? Jegisili, prison. Pashane, criminal charges. So and so. Commissar, if these people are not interviewed transparently in front of Parliament or some other public body like judges have to do, how do we know we're not dealing with a crook who takes instruction from somebody whose name is a color?
Or at the very least, somebody who's incompetent. If they're not a crook, they could be incompetent, right? How do we know?
Right. How do we know? So you see. But Commissar, good thing is all of this stuff is coming to light. We must not be despondent. We must use this information as a weapon for active citizenship and not just tweet about it. We must march.
Okay. I hope they hear you. But for your time, thank you very much, the chairman of the special, not just a standing committee on public affairs.
On public accounts.
Songhe Zwazivi. Kader, thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, Commissar. Always a pleasure.
So, Mr. President, I know you don't listen to this, but I'm going to ask you to institute a commission of inquiry on why politicians in South Africa, especially in your party, do not come to this podcast. But they can go to a podcaster who speaks very foul language about women and other stuff. This is wrong.
No, what do you mean?
Mr. President, not you. I'm done with you. You're no longer a guest. I've said goodbye to you. From me, Rams Mabote, goodbye and God bless.